Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, September 8th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden says storm flooding in the Northeast is a warning on climate change.
Texas enacts a sweeping voting law. Democrats call it an assault on democracy.
The U.S. reaches a milestone, three-quarters of Americans receiving a COVID vaccine.
A powerful earthquake near Acapulco, Mexico sends frightened residents scrambling. Plus, the trial from the 2015 deadly Paris attacks begins. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees slump continued, beaten by the Blue Jays. Mets beat the Marlins. Two Canadians reach the semifinals of the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI, with an operating platform designed to support all major asset classes, diverse strategies, and investment vehicles. SEI is redefining wealth management. Learn more at seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are lower on this Wednesday morning, 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 14 points. Dow futures down 141, and NASDAQ futures down 37. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 1.34%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, it has been almost a week since the Northeast was pummeled by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. President Biden toured the region yesterday, warning the damage is a sign of worsening climate change.
So, folks, we've got to listen to the scientists and the economists and the national security experts. They all tell us this is code red. The nation and the world are in peril. That's not hyperbole. That is a fact.
President Biden says Congress can help build more resilient communities by passing his $550 billion public works bill.
Well, Nathan, elsewhere in politics today, voting rights are front and center. Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a sweeping voting bill that legalizes stricter voting laws, rolls back early voting, and adds new ID requirements. Amy Morris has details from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
President Biden says the law is part of a, quote, all-out assault on American democracy. Governor Abbott says the law is intended to combat voter fraud, but critics say it will make it harder for Black and Hispanic voters to cast their ballots. Data from the Brennan Center for Justice at the New York University School of Law shows that just this year, at least 18 states have enacted 30 laws restricting voting access. In Texas, the fight has moved into federal and state courts as civil rights organizations challenged the law in three separate lawsuits. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Texas is also the main battleground for abortion rights, and now Governor Greg Abbott has officially signed the most restrictive anti-choice bill in the country into law. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The law makes an abortion after 6 weeks a crime. Critics say it may force victims of rape and incest to bear their assailants' babies. The governor says the job really is to eliminate the crime.
Rule number one in the state of Texas is to eliminate rape, so that no woman, no person, will be a victim of rape.
His critics say that is a wonderful goal, but it can't possibly eliminate rape from happening. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, the U.S. has hit a milestone. Three-quarters of U.S. adults have now received at least one dose of coronavirus vaccine. Still, that's well behind many other countries, as many Americans remain hesitant to get the shots.
Well, as you know, Karen, the pandemic has changed the way we work. Some say it could be changed forever. But now Deutsche Bank says the tide is turning on remote work. And we get details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
In a report to clients, Deutsche Bank says a growing number of workers report feeling isolated from colleagues. And nearly 40% of workers in the U.S. say they feel exhausted after a full week of virtual meetings. Deutsche Bank says, quote, people are starting to realize that the freedom of work from home does have some downsides, dilution of company culture, coordination issues, and even the mental well-being of some workers. Even so, a survey conducted by the firm shows people expect to continue working from home 2 to 3 days a week once the coronavirus pandemic is no longer deemed a threat. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Turning to the markets this morning, stocks hovering near all-time highs, but Morgan Stanley is turning cautious. The bank is cutting its recommendation on U.S. equities to underweight and its call on global stocks to equal weight. The firm cited outsized risk to growth through October.
Well, speaking of risk, we are seeing Bitcoin move lower once again this morning. That's on the heels of yesterday's sharp sell-off. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bitcoin is falling the day after El Salvador became the first country to make Bitcoin legal tender. Oanda senior market analyst Edward Moya says some investors likely bought Bitcoin in anticipation of El Salvador's big day, then moved to sell the fact after. The rollout also had a rocky start due to technical glitches tied to the official digital wallet. Meantime, El Salvador's president said the country now holds 550 bitcoins after buying when the price fell. Right now, Bitcoin is trading at below 46,000. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Renita. We're also following shares of Coinbase this morning. They're down more than 2%. The biggest U.S. cryptocurrency exchange said it received a Wells notice from the SEC. The agency is warning Coinbase against launching a product that allows users to earn interest on crypto holdings. Coinbase says it now plans to delay the launch until at least October.
Well, later today, Karen, we're going to get earnings from a big name in the meme stock movement. GameStop reports after the close of U.S. trading. Here with a preview is Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
So far this year, GameStop is up nearly 1,000%. Retail investors are said to be responsible for the surge as they try to stick it to firms that shorted the stock. The company has posted a profit just once in the past five quarters. Analysts expect another loss this time around. Still, it's been a significant year for GameStop. The company has named a new CEO, a new chief growth officer, and a new chief operating officer, all in the past 6 months. In New York, I'm Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Karen, thank you. And we're also seeing a turnaround for Tesla in China this morning. Shipments of Tesla's China-made cars surged in August. The company saw gains in both domestic shipments and exports from the country. The gains come even as overall auto sales in China slump. Again, futures are lower, with S&P futures down 13 points this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:07 on Wall Street, 72 degrees in Central Park, and still have some lingering road work on the FDR Drive. We'll have details on that for you shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. On top of President Biden visiting New York and New Jersey, local politicians also toured the storm-damaged areas from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. New York Governor Kathy Hochul visited an area in Queens. In East Elmhurst, the governor left flowers at a home where three people died from the flooding.
Well, more than a governor of this state, I'm a human being. I'm a mom. A mother, father, and a child were lost in this place. You can't help but have it affect you.
Governor Hochul spoke to ABC 7. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will pump out water and flood it out homes for free, and work permit fees will be waived for people trying to repair their damaged homes. At least one person is dead after a powerful earthquake hit near the Mexico resort city of Acapulco. The 7.0 magnitude quake shook the ground for nearly a minute, swaying buildings. Scientists say the potential for a tsunami has passed. The trial of 20 men accused in the Islamic State group's 2015 attacks on Paris that left 130 people dead begins in a secure complex within the city's courthouse. Nine gunmen and suicide bombers struck within minutes of each other at the National Soccer Stadium, a concert hall, and restaurants and cafes. The only survivor of the extremist cell is the key defendant. Once a tech startup, Golden Child, the founder of the now-dissolved blood testing company Theranos, is now on trial for fraud in California. According to opening arguments, prosecutors argue Elizabeth Holmes flat-out lied to investors about the company's devices and what they were really capable of. Holmes' attorneys seem ready to point the finger at her former co-defendant, former Theranos executive Sonny Balwani, on claims that he was abusive and manipulated Holmes. Experts are weighing in. White-collar defense attorney Caroline Polisi was asked about the prosecution's objective.
Prosecutors have to prove her state of mind. They have to show that she had a criminal intent to deceive. And that's pretty difficult in cases like this.
white-collar defense attorney Caroline Polisi. Britney Spears' father has filed to end the court conservatorship that has controlled the singer's life and money for nearly 13 years. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Almost 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Last week, Garrett Cole pitched the Yankees to a victory that ended a four-game losing streak. The Yanks were hoping Cole would be able to end their three-game slide, but Cole and the Yanks lost, and Cole left the game with an injury. Strained left hamstring, headed for an MRI. Red-hot Blue Jays won their sixth in a row, 5-1. Yanks out-hit Toronto 8-7, but all eight hits were singles, while the Jays got two home runs for Alejandro Kirk and the 38th of the year for Marcus Semien. Red Sox lost to Tampa Bay. Yanks still half game ahead of Boston, but Toronto now within two games of the Sox. Mets had only six hits in Miami, but two of them were Pete Alonso homers. Two-run shot in the first inning. Solo homer in the ninth. The Mets beat the Marlins 9-4. Carlos Carrasco's first win as a Met. U.S. Open, Daniil Medvedev into the semifinals for the third straight year. He's won five matches. He's only lost one set. He'll now face the Canadian Félix Auger-Aliassime. Last night, he took out the 18-year-old Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz, who was trailing and then had to retire with an injury. Women's quarterfinal wins for second-seeded Aryna Sabalenka and Canadian Leila Fernandez. She won the day after her 19th birthday. The Cowboys not expected to have guard Zach Martin for the season opener tomorrow night at Tampa Bay. Just tested positive. Giants coach Joe Judge happy that has not happened to his team.
There's protocols in place, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, and where those protocols are to you, you have to follow them. And we'll support everybody as long as you follow the protocols. I would say that our team's done a tremendous job. We haven't had to have one meeting or anything, this training camp or anything, in terms of telling guys to space out or put on masks. They've all been very in tune.
Judge said he'll know more after today's practice about Saquon Barkley's availability for Sunday's season opener against Denver. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures down 14 points. NASDAQ futures down 35. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds today. Showers and thunderstorms possible late with a high near 80. It'll turn partly sunny tomorrow afternoon, upper 70s. Sunshine, upper 70s for Friday. Currently 72 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling and European stocks slumping as investors assess multiplying economic risks, including a resurgent pandemic and China's regulatory crackdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 14 points, Dow futures down 137, NASDAQ futures down 35, the DAX in Germany is down 1.4%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.34%, the yield on the 2-year 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 28 cents at $68.63 a barrel. COMEX gold is little changed, up less than a tenth of a percent, up $1.10 at $17.99.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1817 against the dollar, British pound 1.3760, and the yen's at 110.20. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden warned that storm-ravaged New York and New Jersey are signs of worsening climate change. Biden redoubled his push for a $550 billion public works bill that he said would help build more resilient communities. A powerful earthquake has struck in southern Mexico near the Pacific resort city of Acapulco, causing buildings to rock and sway in Mexico City hundreds of miles away. At least one death has been reported. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox, Nationals, and A's lost, the Giants and Orioles won. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Leila Fernandez has beaten number 5 seed Elena Svitolina to reach her first Grand Slam semifinal. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're keeping an eye on Bitcoin this morning. You look at cryptocurrencies, they're pretty much under pressure across the board after El Salvador started accepting Bitcoin as legal tender, a pretty well-publicized rollout there, but didn't go quite as planned. Let's bring in Bloomberg cross-asset reporter Eric Lamb for more on this. Eric, good morning. First off, what went wrong with the Bitcoin rollout in El Salvador in the first place? Can you kind of explain what happened?
Yeah, there's a couple of moving parts here. So first off, El Salvador had some technical glitches with the digital wallets that the government is implementing for all of the citizens in the country. That caused some hiccups, which they were working through the day, and the price as a result started slumping. We saw Bitcoin drop as much as 17% before clawing back some of those declines. There's also some speculation within the industry, and we were looking at this in the days leading up to the debut, that there was a possible coordinated pump of Bitcoin prices where a lot of people on social media were going to buy $30 worth of Bitcoin en masse. But it seems like that potential coordination never really materialized, or if it did, it came up before the actual debut. So all of which added up to a pretty big drop for Bitcoin.
All right, let's take those pieces one by one, starting with the glitches for the digital wallet. Do we know whether those have been resolved at this point for El Salvador?
I don't have the latest on where those technical issues are now, but my understanding is that some of those have been resolved. But I'd imagine that when you're implementing a all-new kind of legal tender on a countrywide basis, which is really unprecedented, had never been done before, you're going to get a couple of hiccups on the first day. So I think they're working on smoothing those things out. The president has also said they bought additional Bitcoin. So they're holding, 550 Bitcoins now after buying when the prices fell. So it's, there's no looking back now. They are the train has left the station, as it were, for Bitcoin in El Salvador.
Yeah, certainly. And as far as the other piece, the thought that the fans of Bitcoin were going to pump up the valuation. Why doesn't it look like that happened? What could be behind that?
That's interesting. I was talking to an analyst yesterday who suggested that, it's one thing to say you're going to do this on social media, and then it's another thing to actually do it. So there's one level of actual getting to that point of clicking buy on $30 at the right time. Also, you also have to coordinate. You think about things like time zones. You compare this to something like the meme stocks with GameStop and those other coordinated social media campaigns that we saw previously. At least those were in one market in the U.S. Bitcoin is, as we all know, borderless, and there's no opening and closing of markets. It's 24 hours around the world. That just makes it all the more challenging to get people to actually all coordinate at the same time at the right time zone. So I'd imagine that there were some technical challenges there, and then also just the fact that when you're dealing with such a massive coordinated campaign, it becomes much more difficult to get all the kittens or herding all the cats into one place.
Now, of course, amid all the attention around El Salvador's adoption of Bitcoin, we did hear from Mike Novogratz, a billionaire, founder of Galaxy Digital. He's saying the drop yesterday was a little air coming out of the balloon of Bitcoin's valuation. Is there something to that? Is that what we're kind of seeing this morning, even more air coming out?
Yeah, certainly. Bitcoin has come a long way. Now, it's been topsy-turvy throughout the year, as we've all seen. Never quite reached the record high of almost 65,000 that we saw earlier this year, but it's up some 75% since July. So it's had a pretty strong rally, and it's kind of natural that we're seeing some of that pullback here. Now, other factors that people have brought up as well could be even the Federal Reserve. If we're talking about some more tapering or normalization of that stimulus, then some of the more speculative assets that have benefited from that increased liquidity, like Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, they might be the first to fall. Interestingly, we did see one coin, Solana, SOL, that's a competitor to Ethereum, the Ethereum network. They've seen their coin has not dropped as much as other cryptos. So there is something interesting there in the idea that perhaps investors are starting to look at some of these coins beyond just investments as digital gold, but actually as tokens with real utility.
All right, Eric Lamb. Thanks for this. Really appreciate it. Eric Lamb is a cross-asset reporter for Bloomberg News. And as we keep an eye on Bitcoin this morning, after yesterday's plunge, Bitcoin is down another just about 1.5%, $46,000 right around that level. Futures on Wall Street moving lower. S&P futures are down 11 points. Dow futures down 114. NASDAQ futures down 27 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 7/32. The yield just shy of 1.35%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather could see some late day showers and storms today with a high near 80 degrees. It'll turn partly sunny tomorrow, upper 70s. Sunshine, upper 70s for Friday. Currently 72 and clear in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with a warning from President Biden. He says storm-ravaged New York and New Jersey are signs of worsening climate change. The president spoke in Queens after surveying the damage.
Climate change poses an existential threat to our lives, to our economy, and the threat is here. It's not going to get any better. The question, can it get worse?
President Biden says Congress can help build more resilient communities by passing his $550 billion public works bill.
Well, now, Karen, the president's going to turn his attention to COVID-19. He's planning a speech tomorrow to outline a six-pronged strategy to get the pandemic under control. So far, three-quarters of U.S. adults have received at least one dose of coronavirus vaccine.
Well, Nathan, voting rights are in focus this morning after Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed a sweeping bill into law. The measure legalizes stricter voting laws, rolls back early voting, and adds new ID requirements. President Biden calls it, quote, an all-out assault on American democracy.
All right, turning to markets this morning, another big bank is warning investors about the outlook for equities. Morgan Stanley has cut U.S. stocks to underweight and global equities to equal weight. The downgrade comes the same day Citigroup said any minor correction is at risk of being amplified because of the extent of bullish positions.
Well, Nathan, Bitcoin is lower once again this morning following yesterday's sharp sell-off. And we get the latest live with Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin is falling the day after El Salvador became the first country to make it legal tender. Owanda senior market analyst Edward Moya says some investors likely bought Bitcoin in anticipation of El Salvador's big day, then moved to sell the fact after. The rollout also had a rocky start due to technical glitches tied to El Salvador's official digital wallet. Right now, Bitcoin is trading lower, around 46,000. In New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down about 9 points. Dow futures down 87. NASDAQ futures down 22. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 1.35%. The yield on the 2-year 0.21%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 48 cents at $68.83 a barrel. And COMEX gold is little changed, up $1.40 at $17.99.80 an ounce. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 71 degrees in Central Park. Heads up for a crash on the lower level of the George Washington Bridge. I'll have details on that for you in just a few minutes. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. On top of President Biden visiting New York and New Jersey, local politicians also tour the storm-damaged areas from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. New York Governor Kathy Hochul visited an area in Queens. In East Elmhurst, the governor left flowers at a home where three people died from the flooding.
I'm more than a governor of this state. I'm a human being. I'm a mom. A mother, father, and a child were lost in this place. You can't help but have it affect you.
Governor Hochul spoke to ABC 7. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will pump out water in flooded out homes for free, and work permit fees will be waived for people trying to repair their damaged homes. A 7.0 magnitude earthquake rattled Guerrero State's Pacific coast in South Mexico. Mexico City's mayor says the quake caused some power outages. The quake was centered near Acapulco. After almost 6 years, France is putting on trial 20 men accused in the horrific ISIS attack on Paris that claimed 130 lives. In November of 2015, nine gunmen and suicide bombers struck at the Bataclan Hall, cafes, and at the National Soccer Stadium. The main man charged, Salah Abdeslam, ultimately fled to a hideout in his hometown of Brussels. It's the final week of campaigning before Election Day for the California governor's race. A recall has put Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom in the position of campaigning midterm to hold on to his job.
Polls don't vote, people vote. We'll see how that turns out. I'm very proud of the work that we've been doing. It's been a tough 18 months.
Opponents looking to fill Newsom's seat in Sacramento include conservative radio talk show host Larry Elder. The U.S. State Department says it's concerned about the Taliban's picks for new government posts. The Biden administration says the list is exclusively Taliban members and no women. President Joe Biden, on his way back from his trip to New York and New Jersey, was asked whether he thought the world would accept the new Afghan government.
China has a real problem with the Taliban, so they're going to try to work out some arrangement with the Taliban, I'm sure, as does Pakistan, as does Russia, as does Iran. They're all trying to figure out what do they do now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
A Biden administration spokesperson reiterated the U.S. will judge the Taliban by its actions, not words. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
Thanks, Nathan. That 13-game Yankee winning streak seems like a long time ago. They're 2-8 since. Pair of four-game losing streaks. These last four all coming at home. Two losses to hapless Baltimore, and now two against red-hot Toronto. Blue Jays won their sixth in a row, 5-1. The ex-Mets Steven Matz beat Garrett Cole, who in the fourth inning surprised everyone by taking himself out of the game with what was later determined to be a tight left hamstring.
Sitting out there for a couple pitches, just kind of weighing the pros and cons, and I just wasn't quite sure I was going to be able to get through the inning and get some treatment on it to get back out. Unfortunately, I just had to pull the plug.
Red Sox lost at Tampa Bay. Boston has allowed 34 runs the last three games. Yanks and Sox still the wild card leaders, but Toronto closing in on them fast. The Yanks start rookie Luis Gil tonight. He's still unscored upon in over 15 innings of the majors. The Mets beat the Marlins in Miami 9-4. Two home runs for Pete Alonso. Carlos Carrasco finally had his first Met win. Before the game, the Mets announced Jacob DeGrom's injured elbow is now perfectly intact, but it's not known if their ace will pitch again this season. It's not known if Saquon Barkley will play the Giants season opener Sunday against Denver. They'll know more after today's practice. The one-time Jet running back Le'Veon Bell has signed with Baltimore. His best years were with the Ravens' arch rival, the Steelers. Leila Fernandez turned 19 on Monday and yesterday celebrated with a U.S. Open quarterfinal victory. She won in a third-set tiebreaker, and the Canadian is the youngest Open semifinalist in 16 years. Félix Auger-Aliassime, also from Canada, also into the men's semis. Quarterfinals conclude today and tonight. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. We're coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street. It's time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's John Tucker.
New York City is seizing on its $5.9 billion federal aid infusion to give $5,000 to artists, provide relief to taxicab drivers, and keep outdoor dining alive. The city has received more than any other from President Joe Biden's American Rescue Plan, which extended $350 billion to states and local governments nationwide to help offset the toll of the pandemic. And talks are underway with New Jersey-based Johnson & Johnson about running a booster trial in South Africa. This comes after the company's COVID-19 vaccine was used in a mass trial of almost 500,000 health workers in that country. And U.S. authorities are continuing a probe whether payments by Raytheon Technologies to a Qatar Armed Forces consultant may have been bribes. Raytheon has a number of operations in Connecticut. With the Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report, I'm John Tucker.
Thank you, John. It's almost 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that a Delaware judge has ruled Boeing's directors must face an investor lawsuit accusing them of failing to properly monitor safety issues and the development of the 737 MAX.
I'm Caroline Hepke on DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson quelling a Tory party rebellion and expected to pass his £12 billion tax increase.
I'm Steve Podusk, and on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about the New York Fed Bank survey that finds a growing number of Americans plan to retire at age 62.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Also watching shares of Ford Motor this morning. They're down about 0.3% in early trading, but they rose 0.5% in yesterday's session. That was after Bloomberg News reported the company lured Apple's car chief, Doug Field, to Detroit. Company later confirmed the news, and Ed Ludlow has the details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Doug Field will build Ford's prowess in new and cutting-edge car technologies like software, digital services, and autonomy. He's been given the title of Chief Advanced Technology and Embedded Systems Officer, reporting directly to CEO Jim Farley. This is actually the second time Field has left Apple. He was at the company from 2008 through 2013 when he joined Tesla and eventually rose through the ranks to be Senior Vice President of Engineering. Now he will help drive Ford's electrification efforts, splitting his time between Motown and Silicon Valley. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. S&P futures now down 6 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures down 16. So, pairing some earlier losses. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, increasing clouds today. Some showers and thunderstorms possible late. We'll get up near 80 degrees. Turning partly sunny tomorrow, upper 70s. Sunshine upper 70s for Friday. Currently 71 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are falling this morning, and European stocks slumping as investors assess multiplying economic risks, including a resurgent pandemic and China's regulatory crackdown. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And this update is brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at SEIC.com/IMS. S&P futures down about 8 points. Dow futures down 78. NASDAQ futures down 21. The DAX in Germany is down 1.1%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32. The yield 1.35%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.7% or 48 cents at $68.83 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Joe Biden warned that storm-ravaged New York and New Jersey are signs of worsening climate change. Biden says the threat is here. It's not going to get any better. The president toured areas of Louisiana devastated by Hurricane Ida last week. The father of Britney Spears has filed to end the court conservatorship that has controlled the singer's life and money for 13 years. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox, Nationals, and A's lost, the Giants and Orioles won. In tennis at the U.S. Open, Leila Fernandez has beaten number 5 seed Elena Svitolina to reach her first Grand Slam semifinal. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks for coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Turning to the pandemic now, more than 40 million known cases of COVID-19 have been recorded in this country since the pandemic began. The death toll from COVID-19 now tops 650,000. And now hospitals in many parts of this country are starting to ration care. in areas hardest hit by the Delta variant. Joining us now is Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Dr. Ray, thank you for being with us this morning. And that news that we saw out of Idaho yesterday, particularly about critical care services happening now, really was eye-opening. Where is the sign of let up for the Delta variant? What are we looking for?
Well, it's great to be with you, and I agree that this is an alarming sort of development that we've seen roll out in a number of places with rationing of care. And I think we have to realize that just counting deaths is not enough to assess the impacts of this pandemic and the need to take it seriously. We're seeing big fluctuations in case rates as people get shocked by these kinds of events. They may take some additional precautions for a while, and then they relax, and we see these stadiums full of unmasked people, and it's really hard to see these things juxtaposed.
At the same time, we did get word from the CDC yesterday that now 3 in 4 U.S. adults, eligible adults, have gotten at least a first dose of COVID vaccine. We used to hear that 70 to 80% number being the threshold for herd immunity. Is that still something that's on the table, the idea that broader vaccinations will help lead to herd immunity, or has Delta just thrown that out the window?
No, that's still a relevant consideration, that high vaccination rates will make things more normal. I think if we look at the 25 states with above median vaccination rates, so the 25 with more than 50% vaccinated, and compare them to the 50% of the states, the 25 states that have lower vaccination rates, the rate of hospitalization, the rate of death, is double in the states with lower vaccination rates. So, you know, what we can see is that high vaccination rates are associated with low complication rates. The states that are overwhelmed are the states with low vaccination rates. So we need high vaccination rates, high levels of immunity. You know, eventually, years from now, it'll be natural immunity plus vaccination that's going to sum those. But right now, we have a lot of unvaccinated people who remain susceptible, either because they haven't been infected or they didn't get a great immune response. And so what we need to do is try to get to the point where we're not getting overwhelmed, and immunity is the path to that.
Is that still a clear correlation, the idea that high vaccination means low hospitalization, that vaccination means that this is still, as has been termed by the White House and others, a pandemic of the unvaccinated? What about breakthrough cases?
Well, breakthrough cases tend to be brief and mild. There are exceptions, of course, with any biological event, but as the data are showing us, when you plot, for instance, states with their vaccination rates versus hospitalizations, the only big outlier is Florida. And I think we've seen at a policy level that Florida is an outlier in how they're handling things, how they're communicating about masking and other precautions. But for all the other states, they really follow a curve, and low vaccination rate is associated with high complication rate. And I think that's something that we should pay attention to. Behavior still matters. And so breakthrough cases will occur. People who are vaccinated should be thinking about masking when they're indoors and avoid really crowded venues. But it does work.
When it comes to the policy front, Dr. Ray, we are expecting President Biden to give a speech tomorrow to talk about his plan to deal with the Delta surge. In our last minute here, what needs to be in that plan? From a public health perspective, what would you advise the president to do when it comes to tackling particularly this variant?
Well, we have a great history of ramping up production industrially for things, and we need to have high availability of high-quality respirators, masks, and rapid tests. I think, you know, we need to get people vaccinated as well. That messaging needs to be clear. But I think if we had rapid tests more available to people, they could manage risk much more accurately. So we need to be making it easy for people to determine who's infected, test themselves at home, and protect themselves when they're out with high-quality respirators.
It sounds like a lot of the same advice we were giving early in the pandemic. I mean, after a year and a half, it's amazing that we're still calling for more ventilators and more testing. But Dr. Ray, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Thanks so much for being with us once again. Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. Bay State Business Time is 5:53, and it is time now for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's 5:53 on Wall Street, and this update brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The White House released a so-called zero-trust cybersecurity proposal that would be used across the entire federal government. A federal court in Texas ruled that PNC Bank must face patent infringement claims brought by United Services Automobile Association. PNC is accused of copying a way to deposit checks from mobile devices. Auto repair company Monroe is being sued in federal court. Virginia-based employees say they were not given overtime wages or 401k contributions for overtime hours.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Now more on a legal story we've been following over the past week. Reproductive rights are front and center after the Supreme Court let Texas ban most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. It's raising larger questions about whether the court's new conservative majority could overturn Roe v. Wade. For more on the case, let's get the view from Leah Littman, constitutional law professor at the University of Michigan. She spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power.
A lot of people are saying this really indicates that ultimately the court will not stand in the way of the Texas statute. Is that accurate?
So we don't know for certain whether the Supreme Court, if confronted with the right case, would invalidate the Texas statute that allows anyone to sue an abortion provider for performing an abortion on women more than 6 weeks after their last period. But what we do know is that the Supreme Court will not prevent Texas from allowing that law to go into effect based on this lawsuit. So the bottom line is the Supreme Court has allowed Texas to enact and enforce a law that effectively forces abortion providers to stop performing abortions on women more than 6 weeks after their last period. That effectively bans most abortions in the state.
Because as I understand, and I don't know the science that well, oftentimes the woman might not even know she's pregnant at 6 months, at 6 weeks. It's so early on in the process. But was the problem here that it's not the state that enforces this? It's actually left up to private citizens to bring it, and therefore they didn't have a proper case to address the issue?
That is one of the procedural problems that the Supreme Court noted as to why it would not prevent this law from going into effect. The fact that the typical state officials, state prosecutors, or the attorney general wouldn't be the ones that would bring the lawsuits to enforce the act. Now, the plaintiff abortion providers had also sued state judges as well as state clerks who would hear and docket these cases. But the Supreme Court said it was unclear whether the plaintiffs could actually sue state judges or state clerks because they might be immune from lawsuits by private individuals.
And that's University of Michigan law professor Leah Littman speaking with Bloomberg's David Westin. Catch more interviews like this on Bloomberg's Balance of Power weekdays from noon to 2 Eastern on Bloomberg Radio and Television. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures are down 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 58. NASDAQ futures down 11. The DAX in Germany is down 1%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32nd, yield 1.35%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.21%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 53 cents at $68.88 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $17.99.30 an ounce. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.